Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Monday, January 26, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are studying page 14, the sixth paragraph, which begins with, "My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity," through one paragraph ending, "and with us, it is just like that." Today's readers are Lou Ann C. for the 12 Steps, Christine M. for the 12 Traditions, Lisa M. will read and comment on our share, Robin P. will read 164, and Eileen M., thank you for being here for backup. We also have our newcomer greeter, Ann SCH, and our announcements will close us out with Shelley E. The reference number for yesterday's special edition, which is "My Program is Like a Toddler," and Julie D. To access that, dial 23156. It is 23156. And the number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 23157. That's 23157. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Lou Ann C. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lou Ann C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Boise, Idaho. Here are the steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lou Ann C. I'll now ask Christine M. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hello, everyone. This is Christine M., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media of communication. Other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Christine M. So appreciate that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 14, paragraph 6, and I will now ask Lisa N. to please begin reading for us.
Thank you so much, Elaine. This is Lisa N., recovering one day at a time by God's grace and mercy in Wisconsin. My friend had emphasized the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said. And how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it is just like that. And boy, that is a scary reminder and a stern reminder for me as a compulsive overeater and a many of other things that I am. So there's a couple words that stood out for me, and that was necessity, and then another one, imperative. And so these are things that are absolute. They must be done. And I looked up all of the principles of the 12 steps, and they're honesty, hope, surrender, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, love, responsibility, discipline, awareness, and service. And I will tell you that before I worked the 12 steps, before I worked this program with a higher power and another fellow, I thought that I had all of these qualities, but I did not. I did not use these principles in all my affairs. Today for me with these principles, it is progress, not perfection. But with my food, I have to weigh and measure. So the spiritual aspect is progress, not perfection. I will never arrive. However, I must do what I'm told by my sponsor, and that is weigh and measure my food. If I go out to eat, I must call or let her know what I plan to eat. I have to do all those things that I can do. I leave the rest to my higher power, God. And that's also who I have to have my faith in. I don't have to have faith in myself. That never worked. I have to have faith in a higher power to take care of me. And I do. I know my higher power takes care of me and keeps me on the straight and narrow. And one of the things I have to do is I have to be self-sacrificing and take calls when I don't want to. I have to also be a sponsor. And it's not easy sometimes because I think I want to do it my way. But when I pray and I pray for that sponsee, things go so much better. They go so much better when I don't try to take over. So my faith has to be in a higher power. And I hope that this helps somebody. And that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. And sure helped me. Really appreciate your share. All right. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last few days and you'd like to comment on page 14, the sixth paragraph, which starts with "my friend had emphasized the absolute necessity" and ends with it, "with us, it's just like that." Please give me your name. We'll take a lineup.
Lisa N. in Georgia.
Eileen M.
Georgia.
Heather Y. in Texas.
K.O.J.
Colorado.
Oops, I think I... Okay, after Heather, I didn't get anybody else after that. They all came in at once.
Donna B.
Again, all the names are coming in together. So I have Lindsay, Eileen, Heather, and who else wanted to share?
Michaela J.
Michaela.
Deborah G. Bessie. Arizona.
Deborah G.
Oscar R.
Beth.
Donna.
I heard a gentleman, somebody R.
Oscar.
Oscar R.
Okay. Bessie O.
Was it Jesse O or Bessie O? Bessie O.
Bessie.
Okay.
With a B.
Mm-hmm. Got to Bessie.
Donna B.
Julie P.
Donna B. and Julie E.
E. And this is the other Donna B. Two Donna
Bs. And, well, where are you calling from? Maybe that's how we can tell you apart.
I'm the Donna B. in Colorado.
In Colorado. Okay. And, all right. Well, let's stop there because we've got about a full load here. Okay. So, and again, I can't read my own writing. I tried to do this too fast. The very first person, was it Lynn C. or Lisa C.? Oh,
it's Lisa N.
Lisa N. Oh, the other Lisa N. Okay, thank you. I'm so sorry. Okay, Lisa N., you're up next. You'll be followed by Eileen.
Okay, perfect. Hi there. This is Lisa N., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Oh, gosh. Thank you so much, Lisa N., for getting us started. That was wonderful. And, you know, I mean, every paragraph just blows me away. And I think these days, these words that we read, absolute, must, these words that are so powerful, and they're giving me explicit directions, and they scare me at the same time. You know, I mean, like, this faith without works was dead, you know. So, I mean, Bill was just such an incredible writer. He really, really was. But there's so many things in this paragraph. I one of the things was, and I think this is so cool, and this just reminds me how, like, I can get along so great with program people, you know, like, put me in a convention, and I'm just, like, so happy and excited, and then put me back in my regular environment, and that's when it's, like, the rubber meets the road, so to speak. So I love how I'm reminded here the necessity of demonstrating those principles in all my affairs. So not just my lovely recovering friends, or, you know, not just people in program, but my family. Oh, Lord, you know, the major players, I like to say, the people at work, you know, the people that are triggering my character defects every day. So I love that. And then I love how faith without works was dead. I love this part. I had faith galore. I believed in this powerful God. I really, really did. But to put it into work, you know, like, I could believe I was a compulsive eater and I had these allergies and things like that. But to put it into work, entire abstinence for me, the faith did nothing until I fully put down those alcoholic foods, ingredients, and behaviors. And then it goes on to say, and this is just, once again, these stern warnings. If an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge spiritual life, I don't want to eat again. Oh, my God, I don't want to go back to that hell. So what I do, I put myself out there. Right now, I have a sponsee I'm so grateful for. I'd love some more. But, you know, I know God will put some more in my life if I just keep doing the work. And it's not just sponsees. I can be of service, like on this line today, hopefully helping a struggling compulsive reader. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. Eileen, you are up next, and you'll be followed by Heather H. Please share with us, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And, so what I was thinking about this paragraph is that, you know, the only requirement to sponsor is that the problem of compulsive overeating be removed. So, you know, that's the primary message that we get to carry to other people. And, you know, that compulsive overeating can be solved. I mean, that's just, oh, God, that's the miracle message, is that this, you know, this can be solved. And, you know, I'm thinking not only that, but, you know, as sponsors, like as a sponsor, I teach other people how to show up in life by example. Like, you know, we model good behavior and, like, right relations with other people. I mean, we are demonstrating the principles to them, you know, and how important that is. Because, you know, here's an example. I'm thinking about, like, setting boundaries in the relationship, for example. That's a good way to model behavior. And, you know, showing someone how I respond to difficult circumstances. Those are just examples of, and, you know, I'm just thinking about how, you know, when the food obsession is removed, like, what's left? You know, life is all about relationships, because that's what I get to work on. You know, my primary and foremost relationship is with my higher power. That's the most important. And then, you know, secondly is, how am I showing up in all my affairs? You know, am I walking the walk? And, you know, when I do my nightly review, I get to look at, did I walk the walk today? And, you know, being an example of recovery to other people, that's not just the best way to influence people, it's the only way. And, you know, I get to do that in my sponsoring. And, you know, I learned so much from my sponsor, who I still talk to after many years, you know. So anyway, with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Eileen. Good to hear you. Heather H., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Michaela J.
Hi, this is Heather Y. from Texas. Very happy to be here today with all of my fellows. I've listened to this meeting for years, but schedule-wise, it never worked out, and this is the first time I've ever shared. It's, I don't know, 20-some-odd degrees out here. I'm sweating, but just very grateful to be here. And with this paragraph in particular, as was said, the words imperative, necessity. I have to give this away. I have a tough time doing this. I'm not going to lie, because there's a piece of me that just says, well, what about me? I mean, you should have to sweat and go through what I did. I am not the perfect shiny princess, I've learned in program. I thought before program I was honest and a good person, and program has shown me what a liar and a hypocrite I really am. In the best way, though, because if you don't know where you are, how can you grow? But there's also a portion in this paragraph that scares me, in a good way, of course, of, you know, unless we give things away, unless we perfect and enlarge our spiritual lives, we cannot survive the certain low trials that are ahead. So this tells me that low trials, tribulations are a guarantee. They will come. It's not a question of if, it's when. And this also tells me I cannot survive unless I perfect and enlarge my spiritual life. Because program also taught me, I too had a, what is it, the 12 and 12 says, I had quantity of faith, but no quality of faith before I got here. I could say all the right things, do all the right things, be at all the right places, but in those trials, I saw what was really in me, and honestly, I did not like it. And I still don't when those trials come. Hopefully they're better. I don't know, but I struggle with this. I want to give away and want nothing and expect nothing in return, but most of the time I don't think that I do, but I want to, and I think that's what, I hope that's what God sees. But as has been said many times before, we have a program of action. So I'm struggling with this a bit today, but I'm really glad to hear everybody else's experience, strength, and hope. And I think that's all I want to share today. So thank you for listening, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Heather. Appreciate your share. Michaela J., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Deborah G.
Good morning, everybody. This is Michaela, recovered compulsive overeater in British Columbia, Canada. Wow, what an incredibly powerful and warning paragraph. So much in this, you know, just believing God is insufficient. It's very clear that I must practice all of the 12 steps principles and give what I have away. You know, faith, it says here, has to be accompanied by real action, or it means nothing, basically, and I will not survive life on life's terms. You know, it's imperative that I work with others, or I will eat again, and I'm newly recovered and available to sponsor, and I'm nervous, but I'm also nervous about not keeping my recovery. You know, my selfishness and self-centeredness and fear cannot get in the way. I need to be like comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, at the end of the day, I have a gift and experience to give away to others, as I am a real compulsive overeater. You know, I want to see the lights go on in others' eyes like it has in mine. And, you know, as it says in here, I will not survive the ups and downs of life. And, you know, we all know there is some sure ups and downs in life. So I think that's all I've got to say. This paragraph actually made me open my mouth and share this morning. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michaela. I'm sure you'll be just fine sponsoring lots of experience, strength, and hope here on the line. Okay, Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Oscar R. Please share this, Deborah.
Good morning, everyone. Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much for your service and leading us today and everyone making this meeting possible. And well, thank you all for your shares in 12-stepping me today, keeping me reminded. And also, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line with us today, and lovely to be here. And I can remember when I went through the steps and I was going from, and what I was needing to go from, that self-centered fear, which played out in so many ways I saw, to God-centered, other-centered, and living that way from then on. That was the purpose for doing that, so that I could help another person. Getting what I so freely was given and the experience and the transformation that happened, so I can help someone else that's suffering. You know, now that doesn't mean I can't go back to self-centeredness, and I do at times, but I've become more aware of it. And yes, there are times I don't want to do something. I'm aware of that and being honest with myself and doing it anyways. And when I do it anyways, because all the stuff that keeps me, blocks me, is just in my head. It's just that self-centeredness again, in my fear, in my head. You know, it's a block. You know, it's like, Deborah, get over yourself. Get yourself out of the way. And then do what I need to be doing. And it's such a blessing because I see the experience happen when I'm willing to help another person. I can see it happen in them. And wow, it's a beautiful gift. And then to see them doing it with another is even another joy. So I love this program. I love all of you. I'm glad we can hold hands and do this together. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. Oscar R., you're up next, followed by Bessie O. Star one to unmute, Oscar. I thought I heard an Oscar out there.
Hello, this is Oscar.
Hi. Hi, Oscar. Thanks. Yeah, you're a little quiet, so if you could speak up, that'd be so great. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay. This is Oscar R., compulsive overeater in Minnesota, and I thought this was a helpful reminder of, for me, the necessity to, of enlarging, my spiritual life or spiritual experience, that it's not just an optional, by the way, now that you are recovered or have experienced some recovering, you could help another, or, you could serve, or you could, enlarge your spiritual life, that this is actually I was just struck by how clear the book says that this is a requirement, that it's necessary to continue, to keep going, to enlarge. And, because I think it's very easy for me to kind of come back to just my own power and my own, that it becomes no different than, following a food plan becomes no different than just following any other diet. But I was just struck by that. And that's what I wanted to share today. So thank you. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Oscar R. Appreciate your share. Bessie O., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Donna B.
Good morning. This is Bessie O., a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I thank you, first of all, for caring and hearing my voice, and really grateful that I get to share on this paragraph. The thought that comes to my mind, it's this very strong image of, like, the two images are, when Bill is in that hospital bed and he's like, oh, I could think of others. And, that thought comes to, that image is so powerful for me because it is so contrary to all the outside help and resources that I sought, to try to solve the problem of not being able to stop eating. And then being in the the bedevilments, it was like my goat. So I guess what I want to say is just how this is so revolutionary. It's incredibly revolutionary. It's like, what, you're hurting, you're down, you're out, you're struggling, wallowing in self-pity, whatever it might be. And it's like, No, go out and find people to help. And for me, the biggest barrier to this beautiful way of living was that I didn't completely let go of the food. And when I was not completely free of the food and the behaviors, it blocked me from God. And then it blocked me from feeling like I truly had a program that I could share with others. And so I guess when I'm reading this, I'm just realizing how grateful I am that that I have a powerful step one and I am separated from the food. And then the other thing is that I am in a program where, you know, I said the self-pity thing. When I came back after some time off in January, I just had some work struggles and I was in self-pity and felt like people, you know, I felt like I was getting bullied and this and that. And I did the work. I did the 10s. And I remember this one day feeling like, right, I did the 10. I could see it. Did the turnaround. And then I was like, oh, find some people to help, Bessie, you know? And I just am so grateful that is what this program is built on. Because I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong with this, but this is just not the advice I was getting. You know, it was like, you need to spend more time, you know, you go to a yoga class, or this is what I came up with, go to a yoga class, self-care, you know, get some really good food in the house, you know, tidy up, you know, all these things, but actually seeking out people to find that just wasn't, and this program is, I'm learning this. So I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Perfect timing, Bessie. Thank you so much. Appreciate your share. Donna B., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Julie E. Please share with us, Donna.
Yes, this is Donna B., Massachusetts. Hi, everyone. Thank you all for being here this morning. I need a meeting today, and this is a good time for me and everybody, and I just want to say this paragraph was really great. What I got from this is, we have to help others when we're in recovery. If we don't, it is a must, because if we don't, we're going to eat again. We have to enlarge our spiritual life, or we won't survive, because this program is basically based on spirituality. And we don't want to eat again, which we would. Prayers and meditation, working with others, taking action and having a spiritual life is the way. And then faith without works is dead. So true. And I thank you all for being here. Have a great day. I'll be listening to everybody else now.
Thanks so much, Donna B. Julie,
you're welcome.
Up next, followed by the other Donna B. in Colorado. Julie, please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you for hearing my name. My name is Julie P. I am from Minnesota, currently blessed to be spending the winter in southern Texas. You know, I just had, and I am definitely a food addict, compulsive overeater. And I was just taking in my morning medicine by listening to all of you, and I thank you for that. And I was just really kind of rereading the paragraph that we're on. And the thought came to me that, you know, I have learned that it is my job to identify in to the words in this book. And if, in fact, I have identified in up until this point, which I have, this paragraph is telling me what's going to happen. And I need to take it seriously. I have a note on the side of my margin that says CDA, consistent daily action. And for me, I know that if I do not do the consistent daily action, if I do not make this program a priority and connecting with my higher power, when life gets lifey, I will fall because I have not enlarged my spiritual life for that day. And I fell this week. Life is very lifey right now, very overwhelming. But I know that the one thing I have done is made a decision that I will never leave this program. The miracle will happen. And I am so eternally grateful that I know that if I don't keep coming back, I will die. Do or die, I will die one bite at a time. And I know that is an absolute truth. And I am so grateful for the words in this paragraph to tell me, just suit up, show up, don't wear red. I do not have the power. Put on my beige, my neutrality, and reach for the power available to me when I so invite that power in. And thank you all, and blessings in your day. I pass.
Thank you so much. Okay, we have Donna B. up next, and after Donna, we'll take a few more shares.
Good morning. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, in Denver, Colorado. It's fun to have another Donna B. on the line with me. I think many people spoke to the topic of sponsorship and working with others. And one of the things that I really appreciate about the authors of this book and about this paragraph specifically is that the directions are simple, not easy, but simple. So it tells me that I need to perfect and enlarge my spiritual life. But it does not leave me wondering, how am I going to do that? It immediately follows with through work and self-sacrifice with others. It reminds me of the paragraph, actually, I thought I was reminded of a paragraph, but now I have forgotten that paragraph. But the point is that I don't have to imagine how to enlarge my spiritual life, but I've been given the instructions on how to do that. And that's really important for me because I am a person who came to this program with a religion, but with a practice of agnosticism, just not knowing what my higher power was, what my higher power could do, what my relationship with my higher power should look like, and what my higher power was specifically asking of me. Again, it repeats it again. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. So there's this thing about working and self-sacrifice and enlarging my spiritual life. And I'm now reminded of there's a couple paragraphs in the book that give us suggestions on relying on religious leaders, on in the Vision for You chapter, you know, that we only know a bit and that we should continue learning about whether it's religion or spirituality. And I just appreciate the encouragement and the instructions. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. Okay, we have time for three, maybe even four more shares. So, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. So if you'd like to comment on page 14, paragraph 6, my friend emphasized the absolute necessity ending with us is just like that. Please give me your name.
Delita.
Sherry H.M.
I heard Sherry H.M. and somebody else came in with Sherry.
Freya.
I heard Freya and two other names at the same time, but I didn't catch you.
C.K. in California.
BK in California, and one more. I have Sherry H.M., Freya, and CK in California.
Sherry and K.
Dorita.
Sherry and K. And just in case there's time, who was that last, the other person that shared? Was that Dorita?
Dorita.
Okay, great. Okay,
thank
great.
You.
Well, hopefully there's time for everybody here, and we're going to start out with Sherry H.M. So please share with us, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, calling from Washington State. I'm so glad to be here this morning. Thank you for all your service. Oh, this is powerful. I mean, I need to share this. I need to. I must share this, right? And I think, so I heard from our historian in the program, unofficial historian, that when it says, okay, it's necessary, I highlighted it too dark. Anyway, you got to demonstrate these principles in all my affairs. The principles that we see in the literature came up decades and decades later. The principles are the steps, applying the steps to everything we have, everything we do, everything we are. And he did not use the word steps because, like myself, he was a writer, and writers are encouraged to always think of new creative ways to state the same thing. So it really helps me to be actively working these steps in all my affairs. And right now I'm going through the chapter of life where my parents are failing at 89 and 86, and I'm the one that's, you know, in charge. And so, gosh, working these steps in that is, you know, I've got to do it. And also it talks about I've got to pass this on. And the other part of our book that says nothing so much, you know, like insured the alcoholic, so to speak, as intensive working with other alcoholics. And so I have to intensively work it. The calls are great. The service is wonderful. All of that, very important. But that says I have to do it intensively. Otherwise, I will once again go into the arms of my refrigerator. So that's all I got. And have a lovely day, everybody. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry H.M. Freya, please share with us and give us the first initial of your last name, please.
Oh, thank you. My name is Freya H., and I am a very grateful recovered compulsive eater bulimic restrictor in Colorado. Oh, what a great meeting. Thank you, everybody, for your service and your shares. This is powerful stuff. I will try to keep it simple. I know that I, took lots of math classes in my, you know, in high school, middle school, college. I did not go on to practice that math in my life. I don't use it on a daily basis. And so I know I took calculus. I know I got a good grade. I could not tell someone else how to do it. I could not use it today. And I think there are many books that I've read. I don't remember what's in them. I know I read them. But this book tells me that I have to take other people through the book. And so I'm actually astounded sometimes at how well I know this book. Like, I didn't even realize how well I know it. But the reason I know it is because I work with others and we go through it. And we go through it again and again. And sometimes we get through just a little of the book and sometimes we get through more of the book. But by working with others, I come to know it on such a deeper level. And so that's, I think, one of the reasons why working with others is so important is when I work with others and I try to help them, I share my experience, and then I try to help them have their own understanding and have their own experience, then I understand it on a deeper level and I get to know it. So just as simple as that, whatever we use grows, you know, and that if I put this book on the shelf and I don't do these things on a daily basis, how well is that going to work in my life? It's not going to. So it's very, very simple. And the good news is I actually, the biggest sacrifice that I need to make is time. I think that's one of the hardest, most valuable commodities. It's hard to sacrifice time, but that's really all that's required of me is I just have to be willing to put the time into working with others, set aside time in my life, which is very simple, not always easy, but it pays amazing dividends. So I'll just keep it simple and leave it with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Freya. And up next, we have CK in California, and I'm afraid I may have listed too many people. We may not have time for Darian K and Dorita, but we'll do what we can. Okay, so CK, please share with us.
Hey, family. This is CK in California, and today I have 470 days, and I'm very grateful. I just wanted to chime in real quick. Bill wrote, "Faith without works is dead." This that phrase appears in the big book at least three times. And, I think Bill, repeated a lot of things that really, really wanted us to get drilled in the head. You know, faith without works is dead. You know, when I came into a program, I thought I had a relationship with a power greater than myself. I thought I believed in God. But, you know, the OA program quickly showed me that, you know, either food or me was the higher power. And I was grateful to learn that lesson, you know. And so I was grateful to learn that lesson first, and then also grateful to learn that, hey, I can be in and out of this program, or I can be in these rooms, but if I'm not doing any work, nothing's going to happen. This is not magic. I could keep coming back, but what am I doing? You know, I will die in these rooms if I just sit in these rooms and listen to these good old shares and not do any work. What's the point of that? So this phrase, faith without works is dead, is a real thing. You know, this is an action program. I have to do the work. You know, I came into program thinking I could work the CK program. You know, I was going to do a little bit of this. I wasn't going to do that. And I would do a little bit of this over here. And that CK program was trash. And I never got any results, you know. And so I had to stop and surrender. I had to surrender and give up and say, I don't know what I'm doing. I do not know what I'm doing. Higher power, please help me. And so when I surrendered last October and begged for help because I was so miserable, I finally surrendered and started working the OA program. And now, you know, your girl just got her 1-year chip a few months ago. Now I've seen some results because I'm working. I'm doing the work. And, you know, sponsoring now is amazing. You know, I never knew the joy of sponsoring. Because I had the bondage itself. I said I wasn't worthy. I said I had nothing to offer. And so I had to surrender that as well. And so, you know, we can't just come to these meetings. You know, we can't just pick up the phone. We gotta work these steps. We got to work this whole program. I have to work this whole program or I will die. That's it. I can't just do what I want to do. And not do the whole program. So yes, I just wanted to say that. Thank you so much for letting me share. Peace.
Thank you so much. And Darian K and Dorita, I wish I could call you guys and get your get your experience, strength, and hope. And I'm so very sorry that I overbooked how much we had time for. So we're now going to close the reading with the reading from the big book. On page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Robin P. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. I am Robin P., and I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.